go back to Monday's episode, part one of the Shh series, Manifestation in 2021. My name is Greg Bordstein. I'm the host of Open Loops with Greg Bordstein, Conversations That Bend. And of course, in part three of the series, we have Billy Ellis, sciencey spiritualist and founder of New Vision Board Magazine, who is going to deliver science with magic. You'll never look at the secret the same way again. It's showtime. Today, on Open Loops, we have Billy Ellis, intuition and mindset coach, also known as the sciencey spiritualist. Yes, we're going to talk about manifestation. We're going to talk about Vision Board Magazine, real Vision Board Magazine. Don't go for that cheap knockoff. We're going to go into all of it. Billy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for inviting me and having me on. This is one of my absolute favorite things to do, is just talk about what I like to nerd out about.
Yeah. You know, were you, you were talking about a little bit before we started how you always had a passion for science in addition to now really being into the spiritual stuff as well. Was there ever a period, I always love asking this as someone that comes from a father was an engineer and very much valued science growing up and whatnot. Were you grounded in science? Did you think you were going to go on that path? How did you really make your way into a paradigm where both could come together?
So I can't say I was grounded in one of the more hard sciences, if you will. I always was more drawn to the softer sciences, psychology, though I did enjoy mathematics and science in school. But it was always something that just really interested me. I love researching and just kind of digging into different things, especially outside of the world of academia for myself. Once it's of my own volition, then I'm really into it. And I just want to, you know, read everything I can. And when I got into my intentional, I know I said this before when we were on, but my intentional spiritual journey is what I call it, about a decade ago, is when I really started discovering this intersection between psychology, quantum physics, and the spiritual realms. And it's so interesting to me, if you look back in history, so many of the scientific discoveries used to be made by people who were self-proclaimed spiritual or religious. There wasn't quite as much of this discord that we kind of see today of either you're one or the other. Before, it was all wondrous and amazing, and there was plenty of space for both to exist cohesively. And when I started my business, I really wanted anyone who interacted like with my Facebook group to know immediately that that was where I stood, of there's space for all of it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, and I noted you've said this, and I really want to break it down. You said intentional spiritual journey. Why do you think it is important to note it as being intentional versus unintentional?
Yes. So my personal belief is that whether we're doing it on purpose or not, all of us are on some type of spiritual soul journey. I believe we are a soul inhabiting a human body, and we're here experiencing life. So we can do that kind of on default, where we're taking in our surroundings and things are happening to us, and they're still shaping us. They're shaping our belief systems, shaping our spirituality, but most on that kind of subconscious level. And that's really where that psychology kind of starts coming in as well, is whether we're aware of it or not, trauma's happening, exciting things, wonderful things happening. All of those are impacting our world and what we're focusing on and what our reality is shaping into. And this kind of goes back into manifesting. I often talk about intentional manifesting versus manifesting. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, no worries. No worries.
But manifesting is happening all of the time. Law of attraction is kind of like gravity. It's on whether you're being aware of it and using it or not. You can't just decide, I don't believe in gravity, and then you float off into space. So manifesting is the same. where it really gets fun and manifests is when you start using it intentionally. And that is noticing, what are your base beliefs? What are you focusing on? And we can kind of dive more into that if you want me. I can go off on a whole tangent.
No, I'm ready. That's what this show's about. Going as many tangents as you want. Base beliefs. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
So again, going back to psychology. So our subconscious mind is really being shaped all the way up to about age 7. So most of our core beliefs, you know, we're taking in through our environment, through the adults around us, through the society that we're living in, we're really being shaped from those spaces. And being that age, everything's kind of black and white. That's why you'll see a lot of people who have trouble with money. They probably had experiences in their early childhood with adults around them having trouble with money. Now, being of the cognitive function at that age, you can't see an argument happening between your parents and decipher like, oh, it's not really about the money, it's about these other issues. You're seeing everything as black and white. So you're seeing arguments about money. In your subconscious, you're taking that in as things like, money's bad. Money makes people fight. I don't want to have issues with money, so I'm going to stay away from money.
Yeah, right.
So those types of beliefs can get really ingrained in us when we're young, and when we're not being intentional about what we're manifesting, we're going to be reacting in our environment from those beliefs.
Yeah.
So when you start intentionally manifesting, part of what you're doing is becoming much more aware of your personal point of attraction or your energy. What core beliefs are you actually operating from? Kind of like old computer system, what was installed? And most of our beliefs served a purpose to some degree. The reason we create beliefs in early childhood is it helps us get certain needs met. We're built, we're designed that way. But then as we get into adulthood, you can start noticing how certain beliefs that kept us feeling safe, kept us understanding the world, are no longer really serving us. And that's when you can start to do things to basically rewire and rewrite your brain's actual makeup and begin intentionally manifesting from more empowered belief spaces of, money's not actually evil. Money is a tool. Money is really helpful. Money helps me do the things I want, versus money is the root of all evil.
Yeah. Do you, in terms of being a mindset coach, I'm curious what your background is in terms of the work you do with people, because I certainly know that I've talked to people who are, people who are hypnotherapists, and I'm trained in hypnosis, so I know a little bit about, a lot of it probably, about different ways of clearing subconscious blocks. And people always go, well, you have to clear the subconscious. If you're going to use the law of attraction, you have to get rid of the blocks first. In your experience, is that true? If someone starts just putting up a vision board of something and all the things they want, but they really have these blocks still about money and whatnot, what do you tell people so that they can get over that?
So I have a bit of a unique perspective when it comes to mindset work and self-development in general.
Yeah.
I talk about this in my group as well with my one-to-one clients. You don't need to do any of this. Like, you're not broken. You're not wrong. The reason to do this type of work is it feels better. Humans are naturally built. Our natural state is growth. We all have that predisposition to wanting to grow and develop ourselves. But this work isn't so specifically necessary. If we could get to a place where you could really make the enjoyment of life your top priority, you'd be able to manifest anything you wanted from that place without doing the quote unquote shadow work or subconscious work or all the different names that we make for it. The tricky and interesting thing though with humans is we actually really like doing that stuff. Most humans, our brains are built, we enjoy a puzzle. We like feeling unique and special, and that's not a bad thing. And part of this work kind of gives that self-gratification of understanding yourself better, going back into your history and your past. And then it feels really good to deconstruct those things and come from that intentional place and that healing place. Technically speaking, I don't believe you have to do it. I know there's plenty of people who don't buy into any of this and still seem to manifest things magically. But you'll notice most of those people already are predisposed to a optimistic, positive outlook on life. They focus more on the fun and the enjoyment of life versus the things in life that suck and feel like crap.
Yeah, I'm liking this already. This is good because you know what, Billy, you told me before, you said, Greg, I got a lot of perspectives on things that are different than everybody else. And this is very different. I like the it's almost a taboo in a way, what you're saying.
It is.
Yeah, that is. I mean, do you get flack for that?
Honestly, if I do, it just doesn't really make it into my sphere.
Yeah, sure you're not manifesting it. You're intentionally manifesting positivity around your messages.
Yeah, and part of it being influenced by, I did grow up very religious and for so long was so convinced that people, you know, from what I had been taught and raised in, like, you needed to think this way. This was the only way. And it was my job to save other people and help them believe what I believed. And when I kind of grew out of that space, for me, it really became about my job was to have fun. And if I could help people heal through my journey of having fun, fantastic. But I didn't want to come out of this and begin my business from the space of I'm here to help save you. It was, I'm here to tell you what I do, and I will be happy to guide you through my process, help you through your process. But you could also just focus on having fun, and I truly believe you'd manifest a great life from that.
Really? What happens when somebody comes to you with deep trauma? What do you do with that person? If they're just so stuck in that space, that vibrational level?
Depending on the nature of the trauma, I will tell clients that they're not a fit for my method. I've had a client in the past who really, truly believed none of this stuff works for me. She wanted to hire me because she's like, you have a different perspective. Maybe it'll work. But she had that core belief of none of it works and none of it was working. And so I had to part ways with her. I've had clients who have had really deep trauma, but they're in the space of they're like, I am ready to release. I'm ready to walk through the different healings and looking at it and releasing it and doing the process. And then I've had other clients where I'm like, that kind of trauma really is not something for a mindset coach to be walking you through. That is something for someone who is specifically trained in that type of trauma. It didn't mean I completely cut off the working relationship, but they needed to have an outside licensed mental health professional helping them through that. And then I could work in conjunction with that. So I've kind of seen all of those different aspects of it. But the biggest thing with any mindset work is you're the only one who can do the work. So if you want to do the work, you have to show up with the willingness to actually do the repetition. Our mind is built off of repetition. That's why they say, you know, habits take this many days to form. It's because you're really rewiring the neural pathways of your brain. So it does just take time. It takes time to practice intentionally doing a new behavior until that behavior becomes your default.
This is very interesting. What does manifestation mean to you?
That is a really interesting question. At this point, I would say manifestation to me is really the entirety of the process of being inspired to a desire, knowing from my beliefs that it immediately becomes an energetic reality. Quantum physics really backs us up with that. If you start to dig into the idea of everything, the holographic universe, which is a book, which is also an incredible book.
Oh, so good. Michael Talbot, right? The holographic universe is one of the best books I've ever read.
So great. But really that idea that everything exists in potential and potential energy, and our focus on it is what collapses it into our reality. That's the super quick version of the quantum physics side of it. But I really grasped onto that of, okay, everything I want exists as potential energy. Science tells us the universe has so much energy, it literally can't be measured. So I can't possibly think that I don't live in an abundant universe. Everything at its core is just energy vibrating at a specific frequency. That's not even woo. That is science. You can break things down to its, and that's, again, where the sciencey spiritualist comes through.
I was going to say, like on your website, you say the logical woo. Ready yes. for logical woo. I mean, yes. Okay. I'm with you there. Everything vibrates. Yes.
And
so take me to the next step.
So viewing it from that idea of it is existing in an energetic vibrational state. My job living in the 3D where I am interpreting those vibration as solid matter. Because again, science tells us nothing's actually really solid. It's just our senses perceiving specific vibrations as things. You know, hearing something is just the specific vibration of air. Feeling something is the specific vibration of solid wood. So manifesting to me is that bridging of the gap of it coming from the energetic to the 3D formulated, quote unquote, solid within my reality. And my job with manifesting is to get on the right frequency for those objects to match and manifest into my experience. So basically show up. And the time it takes to do that, that's going to be very individualized, person to person, day to day. There are days where I seem to be able to manifest things like nothing. And then there's other days that something that should be quote unquote easy, just I cannot get in the right energetic vicinity for it to show up in my life.
Yeah. It makes me wonder about, you know, let me kind of unpack this from another frame here. Could you just say, I mean, this is what's tricky about this topic, because so little, you could talk so theoretically about quantum mechanics and quantum physics, and I sometimes feel that, Billy, how do I put this? I because I've definitely done this too, and I know it's kind of you almost use it as a hypnotic metaphor when you think about it. You could say, well, look, maybe forget the quantum physics, forget the spirituality. If you have a mindset of something, you want this dream job, if you put your head on and you say, I'm going to get this, I'm going to learn the steps to do it, and I'm going to develop the belief that I can do it, that's just me working with my mindset. I'm installing a belief system in myself, and then I'm going out applying for this job and then getting it. So you could say, well, wait a minute, is that just something you do? Or is that quantum mechanics and spirituality also working because of all these things? And then the higher level is, well, then am I going to bring Schrodinger's cat into here and go, well, it could be both, or it could be none of them. And to me, I always feel like that's a cop-out. So tell me this, why is it more than just artfully using your context and mindset to manifest something? Why does it have to have this spiritual quantum component that's the extra sauce here?
I don't think it does.
Oh,
and what I mean by that is you don't have to think about those things. We are built for action. And that's something that does kind of get muddy when you start getting into this, because people love to explore the psychedelic side of manifesting, the spiritual side, the meditative and the reaching different realms, astral projection, all of that stuff. It's really, really fun to talk about, to experience, to do. But at our core as humans, we're here for the doing of life as much as the experiencing. It's kind of when you see people who are retired, half the time they don't want to stay in retirement. We're built to do. We like to do. We actually do like to work. Most people just don't like to do work that doesn't inspire them or feel good. So there's so often this missed piece of manifesting because the doing, the action kind of gets left off. We're all so focused on where's your mindset, where are your beliefs, that we kind of forget that like you also do take the steps. Now, again, like I can't remember if I said it before we got on or not, but there are people who don't believe any of this who are master manifestors.
Right.
Who are taking the steps, but they would not for a second say any of it has to do with their spirituality or manifesting. They might be atheists, yet they can still seem to manifest beautifully. And that's because it's really more about the fun you're having and taking action that feels like fun. It's always going to be both. I talk about it in terms of the divine masculine and feminine. So the divine feminine, that's where you get your inspiration. That's the meditative space. That's the fun space, the playful space, and kind of the inspired space. So where creativity lives in the divine feminine. The divine masculine, that's where you go out into the world and actually put your ideas into motion. You get the wild hair of like, yeah, I want this job. I'm gonna learn the skills I need. Inspiration came from the divine feminine of I want. Divine masculine then gets handed the action of go do. But then it becomes this circle. So the yin and yang of as you're doing, you're interpreting energetically, is this satisfying to me? So many times you start a project or pursue a career halfway and you're like, oh, this is not what I thought. I don't want to do it anymore. The inspiration has left. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel fun. And so pretty soon now you can force yourself to continue. You can be in the masculine and be like, I committed. I'm just going to, you know, finish this degree because I said I would. But that's usually when you start to see people cross over into that hard work, dissatisfaction, the magic of life has kind of evaporated. Whether they want to call it quantum or spiritual or not, doesn't matter. Everyone knows feel good or not.
This is what I like about your work. This is what's interesting to me. It's that it's less that you've discovered this new thing that everybody's going into and you're going, hey, this is how it works. I geek out on why it's working, and if you want to take advantage of how it works even more, you can, but also you don't have to because it's just the principle of life anyways. Don't you kind of think, Billy, that there is this trend in the spiritual community to, I see it all the time, when I see a book that says, The Art of Manifesting or a Manifestation Coach, I'm always going, yeah, you know what this seems like? It seems like New Age apparel. It seems like, oh, I'm going to learn spells. That's the latest fashion trend. I'm going to learn tarot cards. Oh, this is just a thing I now do. It's adding on as opposed to looking at the way things actually are and finding your place within it. Why? I mean, do you combat that?
I don't combat it.
In a peaceful way, obviously. Been... You're spiritual. But yeah, I mean, do you find...
spiritual people who do combat that or things. It's just not my type. Yeah. It doesn't feel fun to me. So you'll learn pretty quick. I don't do things unless they feel fun. That is what it's all been built on. But it's been an interesting thing to watch for me. Like I started like my intentional journey about a decade ago. And when I got started, yes, there were resources, but not nearly like there are now. Like there was no one to follow on Instagram. There, like you had to know the shop in your city to go to find the stuff.
I live for those shops. Yes.
And the
Secret
was like the one kind of mainstream real thing that was out. And that was my first introduction to Law of Attraction. So it's been really interesting to watch the progression of it become more mainstream, of it become these revelations and people finding their different ways to teach others and sell. And then it has kind of swung in some arenas to almost gatekeeping of this is how you're supposed to do it. And it makes sense to me why that's happened. Humans love rituals. If you look at every religion ever, it always starts to become a ritual. And rituals, when I first began, I was really like, I don't have to do a ritual. I'm not doing any rituals. And then as I progressed in my personal journey, I was like, well, you know, they're kind of fun. I really like doing them. And so I allowed myself to make up my own rituals and do it. I don't prescribe personally to any rigid form of this is what I do. I very much lean on the ebb and flow of my masculine and feminine. And that's what I teach with my clients is your journey will always be personal to your energy. I can't be in your body feeling where you're feeling. I can't feel if you're in a feminine space where you really should kind of in your creative zone, doing things, channeling ideas, or if you're in a masculine phase where you should be banging out all of those tasks you had from your last creative idea. That's always going to be a personal understanding. So with my coaching, I call it bespoke. I don't have a program that I take my one-to-one clients through because it's so individual, but I teach them how to become aware of themselves. And if you're going to go deep and you want to do that deep work, it's great, but only you can do it by paying attention. This time of the month, especially for women, we are very calendar based energetically. This time of the month, this is when I always seem to have the most energy. This time of the month, I go really, really into hermit mode and I don't want to talk to people. Schedule your stuff around that. Give yourself permission to be the individual that you are instead of trying to force yourself into all of these different guru boxes of this is the exact manifesting ritual that's going to give you everything you want. Well, it might once, but then next month, you're probably a different person with different energy, and trying to force yourself to do that ritual isn't going to feel that good. And the core of manifesting is doing what feels good gets you the best result.
Can you, I'd love to know a practical example for people listening that want to get a taste of this, this manifestation fun size, this kind of, this fun version of it that would actually have them go, okay, I think there's something to this. I mean, obviously you said, you know, sometimes things happen quicker than others, but I'm curious, is there, I know these manifestation people, you have to have an exercise. Manifestation coaches always have some kind of exercise, though I'm sure yours is different than the others. But something that, yeah, something that we can grasp onto that would make us go, oh, this is how easy it is?
So I definitely have a few things I tell people to see which one I want to go with. One of my favorites to do myself is I play this manifestation game where I just try to manifest random stuff that doesn't have any consequence. Those are always going to be more of the easier things to manifest when you're not so hung up on the outcome. If you're trying to manifest $1,000 because your rent is due, you're going to pay so much more attention to the fact that it hasn't shown up yet. And that's when people start going like, oh, you have all this work to do that you need to do beneath it to manifest. That's where it starts to get off into the other section. So to really practice manifesting from fun, pick things that are funny to you. And that's what I, pre-COVID, when all the coffee shops were open, I used to go and I have a little journal and I would write out like funny outfits or like random colored cars and be like, all right, today I'm manifesting these things. And I would just watch for it. And it would just be so much fun to see the manifestation come through. But then if it doesn't, you're not like, oh my gosh, like hung up on yourself. It's kind of like working out. You're working out your manifestation muscles. You're playing with the universe for things that are easy to play with because they're inconsequential. Pennies are another great one. Like I can almost every time I leave my house, I find loose change. It's become like a joke with all of my friends because I play that game so much. And then the other one I would say, which isn't quite as sexy and fun because everyone wants to manifest money or love or that kind of stuff. But if you really can master your emotional plane, that's how you can manifest things the quickest. And what I mean by that is you can find a way to feel good outside of circumstance. You will be able to manifest things so freaking fast. And that's one of the hardest ones. So I do run a challenge. Sometimes I call it a joy challenge. I have it with my manifestation. It's bundled with my magazine. It's called Vibe Reboot. And it's a challenge I do to challenge, can you maintain your emotional space, your energetic attraction, your vibration as high as possible if nothing in your life changes? Because so many times with manifestation, we attach our emotional well-being, our enjoyment of life, to the thing manifesting. When I get the job, I'm going to feel good. When I get the money, that's when I'll be happy. That's when life will be so stress-free and I can just do what I want. And that's total bullcrap. No, it won't. Humans acclimate so fast. Yeah. As soon as you get the money, you might be good for like a couple days and then you're used to it and you're still desiring something else. And that's not wrong or bad or makes you ungrateful. That's just how we're built. And I could go off on a whole thing about that. But if you can master, I don't need the manifestation to feel good. I dictate that I feel good here and now. Now suddenly you actually are aligned with all of the other things you want to bring into your life. The trick is the feeling good first. And a lot of people have a really hard time internalizing that because we equate it with, if I find a way to be content in a situation I dislike, I'm stuck here. I'm complacent. I'll be here forever. When really the opposite is true, because law of attraction, again, it works regardless. It's matching your vibration. You're in a situation you hate and you're constantly focused on how much you dislike where you're at. Doesn't matter how many vision boards you put up. If you still feel like my life is horrible, you cannot possibly draw a life that feels good to you. You have to find a way, whatever it takes, to feel good where you are, knowing your circumstances will start to change around you, but I feel good regardless. And that really is the ultimate freedom of, if the world around me can be crumbling, but I can still have peace, then I'm free.
How do you can you coach that in people? I mean, is that, obviously we were talking about people that are hard to work with you, but I mean, if someone works with you as a coach, do you have exercises or ways to get them to a point where they feel good regardless?
That is pretty much one of the main things we work on. Now, of course, we do go into personal, like specific limiting beliefs or experiences in their past and things like that. But the main proponent, if you talk to anyone who has worked with me, is that core belief of radical emotional personal responsibility. I alone am responsible for where my emotions are. And it doesn't mean that I'm not human and that I don't have reactions to things. It's just, I'm self-aware of what my triggers are and where I want to respond from. So if something happens, a circumstance happens, as it always will, and my knee-jerk response is anger, that's okay. That doesn't mean you messed up. It's that minute after you feel it. What do you do with the anger you're feeling? Are you using it to inspire yourself, to understand yourself better, to grow yourself, to heal yourself, to do something? All of our emotions that we feel, I call them like signposts. It's really pointing you to something else in yourself, in your life. What's actually sparking the anger? Once you understand that and you can actually utilize that emotion, it's sometimes called in the spiritual spaces, transmutation.
Yes,
yes. The energy, you know, I believe it's the first or second law of thermodynamics. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, simply transformed. And that's within ourselves. Emotions are literal energy happening in our brains. It's the transmitters firing. So we have the opportunity with every negative, or I prefer to call them unwanted, because they're all important. Every unwanted emotion we experience is that opportunity for better understanding and having that distance from circumstances dictating. We've all had an experience where something happens and it ruins your whole day. Doesn't mean, so how do I put this? So it's always our choice if when something happens, it ruins our day. Now we can justify it as much as we want. It's not to argue if it's really bad or not. It's more that understanding of how I feel is always going to be within my own realm to control. And the more we work on that and understand what our emotions are actually telling us, the more we can start to grow our ability to separate from circumstance and maintain our peace outside of it.
Isn't it weird, Billy? And, you know, I'm just noticing patterns after talking to so many people in different realms of mind therapy and mindset and the spiritual realm, that if you really just strip it all down, it doesn't even have to be spiritual, it doesn't have to be scientific. If you're really just looking at what people like you do, and certainly what I often find myself engaging with in terms of the conversations I have with people, how much of this work is really just calling attention to the way people emote? It's so much just if we could get the world to go, hey, think about that feeling you're having right now, and them to go one level up. I mean, that's so much of what this work is. It's almost, there should be a public awareness campaign about emotional awareness. Because if people had that, how much more on this planet could we manifest instead of being stuck in the emotion?
Oh, absolutely. And I really do see a paradigm shifting. More people are becoming self-aware. And that's partly why I don't totally rally against some of the stuff that's coming out, because who knows what's going to lead to someone's understanding of that fact. A lot of times at the beginning, people are like, it can't be that simple. No. It needs to be more complicated for me. Like,
yes.
It can't be that simple. And usually I'll like catch up with them a few years down the road of their journey. And they're like, yeah, it was that simple. It really was just awareness of my energy. Yes. So we are seeing people start to awaken to that. We're seeing parents being more cognitive of how to induce that in their children of, okay, you're feeling angry. It's okay. One, those emotions are okay. Negative emotions are so important. I tell my clients all the time, the dip is where the growth happens.
Absolutely.
If we're always up here, there is no reason to change. If things are great, what are you going to change? You wouldn't want to. But human nature is to grow. But the dips are where the growth happens. The unwanted emotions are where you get the reason to self-reflect. When you're happy, same, why am I going to self-reflect? I'm great. I feel really good. I have no reason to turn inward. So the negative emotions are so important to inspire our growth. Similar to thought is the only thing that begets itself. You can't hold a thought without also inspiring the next and the next and the next. Just like everything in nature, it's nature is to grow, and we are the same way. Our thoughts are the same way. Our emotions are the same way. But we only get that through the variance, through the seasons, through the changing. You can go all the different metaphors that you could want for it. But really, the basis of it is it feels good. It feels good to grow and understand yourself. But a lot of people, going back to the reason I say intentional, is a lot of people haven't been taught that in their early years. And so they have just been living out these patterns that they've internalized and that they see everybody else doing, not realizing how to go about reacting differently. You know, they've been passed down generations of reactivity, and they think that's what it's supposed to be. And then we create all these stories about why we're supposed to be that way and who it means, like what it means about us as people. For my own life, a big one I had to kind of really dig into was this idea of guilt. The women in my family, for whatever reason, will take guilt for everything. Even if it's something completely out of our control, we will feel so badly for it. And it makes you pretty miserable. And it doesn't really make the people around you feel better, but it became this sense of, I'm not really caring about those around me if I don't feel guilty. We started equating it with actual love. So
Once
you create that story, well, now that's really hard to let go of, because in your mind, it's this idea of, if I stop feeling guilty for everything and anything and everything, I don't really love the people around me. So that's where it can be beneficial to do that work, to understand why I was having those feelings. And then from that space, be able to progress and go, well, it's not really serving me. It doesn't actually mean anything about how I love those around me. And I can still show love without, you know, being the martyr or being super guilty all the time.
Yeah. This is very interesting. Here's what I want to know. Okay, this is all good. I already think, okay, this Billy is already just is a great coach to work with. I could see you working with people and getting these mindset shifts, but you did a podcast. You have the podcast called The Logical Manifestor. There is this sciencey spiritualist. There is manifestation carries magic. So here's what I want you to do for me. Talk me a little bit. Use that scientific mind of yours. Can you talk me a little bit into what you mean by magic? How does it go beyond this realm where it really does make sense psychologically? I understand this clearing of these thoughts. How do you get from logic to magic?
Well, personally, I feel that that's quantum physics at its finest. I think it was Niels Bohr said, if you aren't, and of course now I'm going to forget the exact quote, but if quantum physics doesn't profoundly confuse you, you haven't understood it yet. Something along those lines. It's where Newtonian physics starts to break down, things stop making sense, and we can't fully answer how the universe even exists. How do we really experience solid matter? Because when you start breaking everything down, for me, I'm like, what other word for there is than magic? Consciousness on its own, that is magical. We don't really understand what constitutes consciousness. Why do we have consciousness? How is it housed in our minds? All of those different things. And then when you do start to experience through meditation these
other realms, whatever name you want to call them, doesn't really matter, but that something beyond the understanding. To me, that's what magic is, that there's this spark, this deeper something that is igniting all of the experience that we're having. Whatever it is, quote unquote, God, magic, the label really is so secondary, just to the fact that there's something beyond that we get to play with and experience.
That's interesting. I'm with you too. I also want to believe you're telepathic. Or at least that you have some magical quality. There's something, I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know if this would ruin your science-y image, but have you had an out-of-body experience? Have you read people's minds? Have you experienced things that people would go, okay, yeah, this is a little unexplained?
Oh, most definitely. I've had a few spontaneous past life regressions. I've had some not psychedelic induced experiences while meditating, where oh. I've been taken out of my quote unquote timeline. If you're interested in one of those stories, I can tell you one. It was pretty profound.
Yeah, let's hear that. I want to hear that.
So I'd been on my personal journey for a few years, having left the religion that I had been in. I had wanted to be a missionary. And so when I left that, I felt for quite a few years kind of purposeless. So I was like, if I'm not a missionary, like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
And getting to the place where I'm like, okay, like I'd started exploring this. I was meditating. I believe in spirit guides personally. So I sat down on my coffee table to meditate. And I was like telling my guides, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for my purpose in life. And up until that point, most of the things I'd gotten through my guides were what's called claircognizance, which is just clear knowing. So it would be like a download of information. I didn't audibly hear often. I'm not very clairvoyant. I don't see images very often. And clear as day, I heard, your purpose in life is to have fun and then help people heal. And I eyes flew open and I was just like, what in the world was that? So of course I go journal all about it. Wasn't very happy for a couple of days because I'm like, that can't be my purpose. That's like, whose purpose is fun? It was a little, yeah. I was like, no, my purpose is supposed to be grand and huge and like amazing. But after sitting with it for a while, that's what sparked my personal first joy challenge that I did. And this is well before I had a business. And through that challenge, I manifested everything I had put down of wanting within 6 months. And I was like, okay, there must be really something to this. And so when I founded my business, it was founded on the principle of I'm doing this for fun. That's my main purpose. And then secondary, help people heal. I wanted a life that I didn't need a vacation from. 80% fun, 20% growth. Dip. And that's what I've built everything on for the past, that was, 6 years ago that I had that experience.
Wow.
Fast forward to maybe about 2 months ago, I'm sitting and meditating again. And my guides show me my timeline almost as like picture stacked. If you think about like those flip movies where everything's that still frame, but you flip it, or like a flip book. So kind of showing me my life as that, just still moments stacked against each other. And my experience of them is only linear because I'm being pulled through them continuously one after the other. In the meditation, they basically like slide me out to kind of get an aerial view of my timeline, almost like snaking around, pull me back to that moment of meditation 6 years prior. And my guide goes, do you remember what you heard? And I said, my purpose in life is to have fun and help people heal. And it was in that moment that I realized I'd heard myself 6 years in the future saying that. And that was what sparked my entire journey.
That's weird.
Probably the trippiest, craziest, non-scientific.
Yeah, that is very bizarre.
That I've had.
Wow. What do you think? I think this is very interesting, this idea of your purpose is to have fun. You know, that's such an interesting. I'm curious what your philosophy is on this, because I definitely, as I am revisiting a lot of my trainings about marketing and putting together a hypnosis business, which I'm developing, working on coaching and building a practice that is specifically the kind of hypnosis I want to do with people and building my life around that. One of the things that they always say is, well, you have to look at the results people want. You have to look at the need. What's the need in the market? And to me, I'm going, well, I created this podcast to have fun. I love hypnosis to have fun. You know, I want to help a lot of people, and I think hypnosis could help people, but fun is always the first priority. In terms of building a life and manifesting money in the pursuit of fun, how do you think that's, if, do you think fun can be an act of service? And if it's not, how can fun be attached to receiving wealth from the universe?
Well, to me, fun is very similar to the vibration of money. Money loves to have fun. Money likes to be spent. Money likes to circulate. It enjoys fun just as much as we do. But as far as business, I definitely, one, I don't sell myself as a business coach, but two, my marketing has been, from the very early stages of my business, I call quantum marketing. The people that are going to work with me best are the ones who are going to resonate with. That's why I do my business. Now, it doesn't discredit my knowledge. It doesn't discredit the results. But when I can approach my business from, I'm doing this because it's fun, the kind of energy that brings to my clients is 10 times better than me coming at it of, I need to save you. I need to get you results. Let's talk about all the terrible things in your life of why you need me. So for me personally, even with the magazine portion of my business coming out,
yeah,
none of it's needed. I made it because I wanted a vision board magazine. I was tired of needing 20 magazines to make a vision board that was kind of what I wanted. So I made it because I wanted it. And I figured it's like other people are probably going to want this. And it's really fun to make vision boards.
So if someone were to tell you, hey, look, Billy, I want this too. I want a life of fun, and I would like to help others, but really the fun thing is the most important thing. What's the best way to manifest that without becoming a complete hedonist, I suppose? Someone that is just going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go to theme parks and spend my money and go to Vegas and see entertainment. And, you know, how do you do fun without digging yourself into the ground?
So again, that goes back to that self-understanding. So it's easy to kind of look at it at the surface and go like, okay, well, a life of fun, like, sure, I'm just going to blow all my money. That sounds like so much fun. But if you really were to sit down and be honest with yourself, do the consequences of spending all your money actually sound like fun? No. Right. A really fun life is going to be a life that does have balance. The idea, though, is to not put so much emphasis on, say, the responsible thing and leaving fun for when you're retired or whatever, putting that off as a focus. It's, I'm going to put fun as the focus first. Now, I still have responsibilities. I like the house I live in. I still need to pay my bills. I don't want the consequences of not paying those bills. But if fun is my priority, how do I bring fun to the things I want to do that actually support the wholeness of my life? So when I first started this again before my business, one of the first things I did is I arranged all of my bills to be paid on the first of the month. So everything I need to do financially, I made so it was done on the first, and I would just have one day where I'd have to sit and kind of do all of the more mundane things that I don't personally love to do. I'm not a finance person.
Yeah.
And I put on my favorite music. I made a spreadsheet so I could see everything and tick it off because that felt really good to me. I made it an enjoyable process. I thanked my money. A lot of times people don't like spending money on the less fun things. But again, if you're really intentional and focused, of course course I like spending money on my electricity bill. I live in Florida. I'm so happy that I can pay for air conditioning. That's fantastic. Thank you, money. Go have fun with whoever you play with next, knowing more money is going to come my way. And that's how you really start to infuse that idea of fun. It isn't a free-for-all, throw off all your responsibilities. We have the choice. Absolutely. Anyone can do that. You can completely overhaul your life and ditch everything.
Yeah.
Would that really be your ideal life of fun? And it doesn't mean the other side of it, of you create this grand vision of your life of fun and people then feel that pressure of like, oh, it's so far off. There's so much discrepancy. It's okay. Well, where you're at right now, how do you start incorporating parts of that into your here and now? How do you start having more fun again before circumstances change? Because that life doesn't equal fun. Only in your mind does that equal fun. You still will always have responsibilities. Like,
I'm going to send 2003 Lindsay Lohan to work with you because I think she needs to hear this message. I think we need to bring her back in time and have you tell her, wait, Lindsay, this is what fun should be. You're on a good path here. Do not mess this up. No, this is good. I mean, I very much appreciate that reframe. It makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about the magazine. You have Real Vision Board magazine coming out. What was the idea behind this? What can we expect to find in this?
Yes. So actually, I'll show you the front of it real quick.
Yeah, I'd love to check this out. I have a love-hate relationship with vision boards, which I'm sure we'll talk through it.
Maybe I can change it for you.
yes.
So.
Oh, look at that. Looks great. It looks great. Very colorful. You could put it on a coffee table. I mean, it's, it's nice to have print, something printed these days, too.
It is. It is nice to hold it. And I'm a little biased because I made it.
Yes, well, of course.
But it really was born. Early this year, I was working on my 2021 vision board, and all the magazines I'd had have been picked over multiple times. They've been through a few vision board parties, and I was looking at Barnes & Noble at all the magazines, and I'm like, do I really want to try to buy more and like get a couple images out of each? And they're never quite what I want anyways. I was like, I wish there was just a magazine that had everything I needed. And it was literally, I was like, oh, I am going to make a magazine that has everything I needed. And I basically ran home and made a Trello board and started.
Oh, nice.
Which, if you know me, is I'm not organized like that. So that's when my husband was like, oh, she's serious. Like, she's organized? This is happening.
Wow.
So that was the spark of the idea. And then as I kind of sat with it and really thought, like, what do I want with this? I want to... My buzzword is probably going to be intentional after this.
Yes,
your SEO is going to be nothing but intentional.
That is going to make it in the title somewhere. I don't know where, but yes.
But I wanted to bring so much intentionality to the magazine, not only with the images I was putting in there, but with what I really wanted to create as a whole. So I wanted it to be a quarterly release. So this is the first one. It's technically September's issue for this year. But moving forward, it will be first quarter, second quarter. So every quarter, you can kind of relook at your vision board, update it, get, you know, inspired, add things, see what you've manifested. But going through with the images, really trying to think. Now, its demographic was made specifically for more female entrepreneurs, being as I am one. I felt I knew and understood.
Right, of course.
Well. But I was really thinking, what topics do most women put on their vision boards? So health and fitness, family, personal development, business. What things was I frustrated as a business owner that I could never find? Good images of money, images of women speakers, images of women in business, not looking like stock photos.
Right, right.
Specific money goals, affirmation, and then the other frustrations that I thought about with magazines. I hated that every other page in a magazine is an ad. So my magazine doesn't have any ads, and it never will. We don't sell ad space. all of the articles in this magazine were written by contributors who applied to be part of it. So to be in the magazine, you have to apply, you have to have something worthy of contribution, and you can't buy your way in. So moving forward, we'll have a limited number of application spaces per issue. From that pool, we'll choose 30 women or entrepreneurs who want to be featured, who have something really valuable to say. Their benefit is they get in front of the audience, but the audience benefit is no one can just buy their way in front of their eyes. Like, they're in there because they have something valuable to contribute.
And what kind of content is it? Is it spiritual? Is it business advice? Is it stories? What sort of stuff
A range of it all. We have some that are stories about other entrepreneurs, how they got started, how they built their businesses to act as inspiration. We have ones that are more practical advice. We have an amazing article in there about email marketing from a gal who's just a genius at email marketing. And then we have some that are more around that spirituality, limiting belief, manifesting human design, kind of creating all of those facets, just like we as humans, we're not one-dimensional. So the magazine, I tried really hard not to make it one-dimensional, tried to have value from those different aspects of business, life, inspiration. Each of the contributors gets a little QR code, so you can easily go, all of their links are on there with a little bio. And the other piece that I really wanted is I wanted to maintain this idea of the contributors being real life people, that you liked their article, you liked what they had to say, go to their QR code, DM them on Instagram, have a conversation, invite them on your podcast, pitch yourself on their podcast, creating more of that community elements on top of all of that other thing. So I wanted, when readers are reading this, they really see themselves in the images, in the articles, in the people that wrote the articles. And from that space, then you go and make your vision board. And it really is designed and meant to be cut up. It took me about 3 weeks once they got in to finally cut mine. but that's the other part of the articles, is to be the sacrificial other side of the page. So you're not going, oh no, I love this image, but I love this image. And if I cut one, I have to cut the other. As much as possible, I tried to eliminate that problem. So the articles serve as the backside of a lot of the pictures, but we do have a digital version of the magazine as well, so the articles are not lost.
Okay, so look, tell me this. Give me. I need some advice. I think this is a very cool concept. You know, I did the vision board thing once. I resisted it for a long time because I am an armchair hobbyist of these things. Sometimes too much so at times. But I did a coaching program, and the first thing was, Greg, get all these images, make a collage of what you want your life to be, any interest you have, and make it your desktop background. And that way, when you open up your computer, you're going to see this vision. And I always sat there and I went, every time I'd open it up, I'm going, I know I'm supposed to feel something. I'm not sure, is anything working here? What is happening? And then when I see, you know, one image, or I change my desktop to an image of some archaic architecture in Japan, I'm going, yeah, this is kind of cool. I don't know what my life is, but I feel much more strongly about this than any of these various images I assembled. So, what was I doing wrong? Or did I just need more patience and looking at these images, and eventually it would get settled in? I mean, what is the way to really relate to this vision board once you've created it, or even before you do it?
So the power in the vision board is always going to go back to that evoking of emotion. So when you are creating a vision board, the idea is to have things that line up with a thing you want, evoke a strong emotion from you, or represent something to you. It doesn't have to be the exact thing. If to you that image represents this specific thing. Words are also powerful because there's so much association we have with words. Again, it's going to be extremely individual, because one word to me can have totally different connotations and personal history than it will to somebody else. So with vision boards, for the manifesting aspect, the emotion behind it is always the most important part. That's how we're tuning into the universe, tuning into the vibration of enjoyment, happiness, success is done through our emotions. That's how you tune the radio dial. The universe is broadcasting all of those stations all the time, but what you're tuning into is what you're focused on. So ideally, the vision board needs to evoke what you want more of in your life. Focus on. The other side of it, the science, psychology side, has to do with subconscious priming. And so this has been studied in psychology, that having specific words, teamwork, success in office environments does create a more cohesive and positive environment just through having those. They've also done it through image things where they flash specific images and then had very curated interactions with people and seen how it's primed your subconscious. Your subconscious takes in about 11 million pieces of information per second, whereas your consciousness can hold about maybe 40 pieces in your conscious awareness at any given time. Knowing that, advertisers know that, and they use it to their advantage. Really looking at the vision board of just using your own mind and your own subconscious to your advantage. Now, you can get really philosophical. You can get super hyper detailed about the things you want to manifest. Or you could just look at it as, what do I want more of in my environment? Do I want more words like success, images of people having fun, images of friends and family, or the car that I really want to drive, or maybe the car I already have that I already love, or beautiful travel destinations because they make me feel something. They make me feel adventurous. They make me feel like the world's a wonderful place. There's no right or wrong things to put on your vision board. It's more about that understanding of why you want it in the environment. And it's for that subconscious priming. It's for helping, just almost a cheat code for your emotion. If I can make a board that's really beautiful, and when I look at it, I just go, yeah, I like that stuff. That is going to help you manifest.
Yeah. Do you think everybody should get off Instagram if they want to be a good manifester?
Get off Instagram?
Yes. And here's why. I think it is, I know I'm very anti-Instagram on this show. My listeners know this. But here's what I mean. It's that it is designed. It is the culture of attention. TikTok, Instagram, any social media, and you said this with advertisers, when somebody goes on Instagram and they put up a picture of themselves, it is designed. Sometimes it's just for you, but let's not pretend for a second. A lot of people are very aware of the audience, and they're very aware when they put up a photo of themselves in a provocative pose, or even when I've done this, when I put up like a nice looking suit, I'm going, yes, I am getting you to acknowledge that I am good looking in this photo in this moment. Therefore, I am provoking your emotions and getting you to rise out of that. Or getting those emotions to rise out of you. Therefore, if Billy, I am on Instagram and seeing a wall, a nonstop scroll of image after image of image of people trying to evoke emotions out of me, how's my channel going to be clear?
Well, I would say if it's feeling like a problem, you should clear out who you're following.
Okay, this is a problem for me, Billy, obviously. I am these models that I just follow all the time, these Italian male models that I just want to be one day. No, I mean, but I am speaking, but it's in a matter of seriousness in terms of the comparison culture and the way that people are. I think social media has been damaging for a lot of people psychologically because of the culture of.
There's absolutely no argument that it has. 100%. A blanket statement that everyone should get off? No. Again, it's back to you having that personal responsibility. If it feels like it's not lining up with what you want more of in your life, if it makes you feel like crap when you go on it, please, please, please delete it and don't go on it. Or only follow accounts that do make you feel inspired. When I first started my journey, one of the things I did immediately is I could not watch any mainstream news. It just made me feel terrorized. It made me feel horrible. It was so hard to see anything of that and then go back to maintaining my vibration. I didn't have the vibrational muscles. I hadn't practiced maintaining my point of attraction, my energetic sphere outside of outside input. So now I could watch. I usually am very specific about where I'm getting my information and how often, because it still is hard. It takes more energy from me to look at something disturbing or difficult and then maintain feeling good. The same can be said for TikTok, Instagram. If looking at these images is making it hard for you to feel good about yourself or feel good about your life circumstances, then absolutely get off of it. It is going to be really difficult to ask yourself to feel good after looking at something that makes you feel bad. Kind of like looking at something really unappetizing and then being like, now go eat. No, the appetite is gone. Like, I can't get that image out of my head.
Yeah.
So set yourself up for success. If you're noticing those things in your personal journey, cut it out and don't feel guilty about it for a second. Go, no, it doesn't. That doesn't line up with a life that feels like fun to me, so it's gone. Maybe I'll revisit it. Maybe I won't. But giving yourself that personal freedom of, this doesn't work for me, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, it's okay. You know what? I guess that's a good point. I do think people do it because they want to, that fear of missing out. That's almost a pandemic, if you will, on society. What's going on over there? Do you see a cat? Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Oh, no worries. No worries. Sorry. I thought you were talking to someone. Were you talking to someone there?
Oh, no. I just said FOMO is real.
Oh, FOMO is real. Oh, I thought you said, hello, how are you? And I'm going, is she talking to her cat in the middle of this interview? That's pretty awesome. I know you have a cat going around over there. Yes, FOMO is real. Yes. So I know that FOMO is something we're all afflicted by. And therefore, you know, I think some of us really enjoy the pain of, let me look at this luxury houses channel on Instagram. Let me look at, people are always aspiring to these things that they wish they could have. But I sometimes wonder, those habits, the way, I think you're right. I think the mainstream media loves to feed us things to feel bad about ourselves for.
Well, that's how you get viewership. That is human nature. And again, the way the mind is made, your subconscious is going to be predisposed to the negative. That is a survival tactic. That is very important when you're out in the world facing dangers. It's important to give higher priority to negative experiences because that gives you a higher chance of surviving if you encounter that again. The problem is now most of our negative experiences aren't actual dangers to us, but our subconscious is still filtering it through that childlike black and white. Something just instigated your feeling of fear and agitation. Okay, that means danger to your subconscious. Now you're feeling all of those same experiences with your flight or fight. Also freeze, but most people don't really get freeze that often. So fight or flight.
Right.
Your best chances of survival, again, out in the world, if you're facing a danger, a wild animal, your best chance would be to flight, to run away. That's why so many people get stuck in those spaces of unintentionally introducing fear-evoking stimulus and then wondering why they find it so hard to show up for their life, because they're feeling that constant reaction of the fight or flight happening in them. But your brain is going to want you to tune in. So the news knows, if we can make it sound scary, the 7 things under your sink that could kill you. Oh, well, I should probably tune in and figure out what that is, because I don't want to die.
Right.
That's how they're going to get. If everything's happy, again, same with ourselves. We're not inspired to change when we're feeling very happy. It's when we experience the unwanted emotions, because that's how human nature is. We pay more attention, and that's when we get inspired to change. And the same goes for news spaces. And then I think you were kind of touching it on the other side of other people when they are posting, that can become just as addictive again, because so many of the times when we can't separate ourselves from outside circumstances, we are going to look for other people to try to make us feel those things we're not feeling within ourselves. I want to get that outside praise. I want all those likes. That makes me feel good, but never continually, because again, it's from outside. So as soon as that post gets old and it's not getting likes anymore, well, we need that same stimulus, that same hit of it.
Yeah, that would be interesting to do an Instagram equivalent where you could add to your likes, but it's just, or what about an Instagram alternative where nobody else can like your stuff? You can just post pictures, and the one person that's allowed to like it is you, and you can like it infinite times. That's
it. It's a new, I saw somewhere, it's called like Herd, like H-E-R-D. I think it's like going to be a new social platform, but made differently. I don't know.
Because we're getting rid of the outside validation. I want an inner validation platform. Yeah, that's, hey, we're the paradigm shifters here, Billy. No, you're the paradigm shifter. I mean, everybody needs to check out realvisionboardmagazine.com. Billy is also, I mean, I know you have a manifestation course, and you're still coaching people.
I do. I do still offer one-to-one coaching. With my coaching, again, I, believe it or not, I do things a little differently.
Yes.
I don't actually sell my one-to-one coaching. And what I mean by that is all of my information of what my pricing is, all of that is on my website. You can find it through the realvisionboardmagazine.com as well. But I only take clients who already know they want to work with me.
Got it. Oh, I love an inbound coach.
So I have a free Facebook group. You can get to know me there. I'm pretty easy to DM any of the channels. You can DM me, get to know me there. But I don't do sales calls because, again, I don't fully believe you need to do this work. But if you want to do it and you want me to be a part of your fun and part of your guiding, then I'm more than happy to offer my expertise and perspective.
Yes, yes. And you know what? If you are thinking of signing off Instagram, just follow the Sciencey Spiritualist. That's the one person you need to follow to feel good about yourself. And follow at the Greg Bornstein while you're at it, too. Those are the two self-affirming accounts on Instagram you need. Everything else is completely no, I'm kidding. But yes, we're going to link to everything here. I mean, Billy Alice, I have, I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's been mind-blowing. It's been different frames on manifestation than I thought. And I appreciate how low-key and truly fun you keep this stuff. So I'm really grateful for the conversation.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation to get to come on and talk. As you can tell, I love to do it. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Billy Alice, thank you so much for coming on. Hey, if you want to get that magazine, get that vision board going, you know what website to go to. It's in the show notes. The new issue is coming out very soon. If you enjoy the Shh series, make sure you follow Open Loops on Apple Podcasts and rate the show. Leave a review. Say a few words. You can follow me at TheGregBornstein on Instagram. Send me a DM. I always love hearing your thoughts on there. All right, everybody. Part 4 is coming. You manifested it.